comrades. It's March 9th, 2011, and it's time for yet another episode of Freedom Frenzy, and it's Wednesday. And what day is that, dear?
The middle of the weekday, Jerry.
You're not going to go there, huh? I thought I would trap you into saying hump day, but I didn't do it. I failed miserably. Okay. Well, my name's Jerry DeMars, and that giggling person in the background, that's Jenny Hodges. And we together, or at least I think we do it together. Sometimes I get worried. We cobble together.
You're the one who left me to start the show alone yesterday.
I told you that was beyond my control. There was just no way that you could pull me away from what I was involved in at the time. And you really don't want me to go there, okay?
And it was just something. I don't know. I don't even want.
It's one of those. You know, when I was when we talked about personal things as a. With our children as they were still kids, they would cover their ears and go, la, 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 la. So they didn't have to hear because they felt embarrassed because their parents might have been talking about birds and bees and things of that nature.
Oh, well, then your kids would be horrified to join my family because it doesn't seem that there's any thought that's too personal to share that crawls across the radar of my offspring. So...
Dear. The openness in your family would certainly breed that kind of interpersonal relationship, I think.
And sometimes I tell the children, do I really need to know this? And they say, yes, Mom, you do.
So nobody ever says too much information in your household, huh?
No. It's only John and I. And then it comes out like this. Enough. For those of you who don't know, I have six children, ages 14, 12, 9, 8, 6, and 4. I forgot.
There'll be a test on that later.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, have you been paying any attention to what's been going on in, say, the last 24 hours? Just reading through the headlines this morning and last night, of course, as I was working on material for today's show, it began to dawn on me that we should all be sitting back, taking a deep breath, look around ourselves, and say, wow, this is what the collapse looks like. Because I think it's safe to say, with all the different little nuances that are coming into play, and more people are now saying, what in the Sam Hill is going on with America? How did we get here? Can we get back? I'm a little dubious about that, but the very fact that more and more people are coming to the recognition that America is something remarkably different than what she's supposed to be, and the level of discomfort is climbing like a meteor falls, I think that we ought to all begin to, like I said, sit back, take a deep breath, and begin to take all this in, because this is something that most people will never go through in their entire lives. And we're living in an exciting, yes, dangerous, yes, and interesting, which is, as I've pointed out on several occasions prior to this one, that's an ancient Chinese curse that you may live in interesting times. And we're right here, boys and girls, right in the thick of it, right here in downtown America. And I hope you've got a good grip on the handrail, because it's going to be a wild ride. So, with that said, dear, have you got anything else that you want to throw out there before we go to our first commercial break today?
Sure. Do you want to interview William Grigg today?
We could. I'm entirely unprepared, but if you've got him lined up, we could do that. And you know, I'm not really surprised at that, because when I sent you that text message last night, I suppose we could wait for him to look us up.
He has just now looked us up, and he's ready to call in.
Okay, well, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
We're going to wade into hit and run news, but we are subject to interruption by the guest that Jenny has managed to line up for us today in an entirely surprising move on her part.
I love doing this to Jerry because life with Jenny is predictably unpredictable. Anything.
You're too kind, dear.
That's how would you like to put it, Jerry? Remember, you didn't
know my channel. Oh, there are modifying words that I could throw out there, dear, but I would rather conduct the next 2 hours on a friendly basis, okay?
We do have Will waiting in the wings. So if you want to do your first hit and run news item.
No. Let's just disrupt the whole format of the program and bring Will on right now. Why not? This is Freedom Frenzy, and this is where the frenzy fact comes in, okay?
That's exactly right. And today our guest is William Grigg. Will, thank you for joining us today.
Well, Jenny, thank you for the invitation, and I'm happy to be an interruption for your program this morning.
Hey, Dad,
unscheduled
right.
Interruption.
I'm thrilled. In fact, this morning as I was doing my little bit, tiny bit of prep for the show, well, we were supposed to have you on last week, but you and I share a common theme in our existence, and that is we both have 6 children, 4 boys and 2 girls. And the reality of life with 6 children is that you have to sometimes cut work quickly and move into emergency mode, which is what happened to you last week.
That's exactly what happened. As you'd like to say, it's a matter of being predictably unpredictable. The one constant in my life, of course, is the fact that everything I do is contingent on a number of factors over which I have no control, and they're this beguilingly and wonderfully embodied in the six children who are literally the most charming and indispensable blessing of my existence. You know, my six children, my wonderful wife, Corinne, is just, there's just nothing better than having a family, at least in this plane, I should put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Will, thank you for being with us this morning on apparently very, very short notice. And I will tell you that I meant nothing disparaging by my comments.
Oh, heavens.
We not.
If Will knew me, he'd know Jerry. I drive Jerry to prayer, Will.
Lord help us.
Dear God, please put a harness on that woman, because I know I can't.
We take chaos and we embellish it and we try to make it fun.
I don't call it chaos. I call it spontaneous order.
Spontaneous
order, exactly. And this morning when I got on Facebook in the opening of the program to see if you were there, Will, and that's how we set up today, somebody else messaged me and said, are you the Jenny I'm listening to on the radio right now? He's probably why are you on Facebook? Just checking to see what's happening there. Oh, well, Will, let's plug into this interview. And I want to praise you for the work that you do on freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Because your research is so thorough, and the truth is bad enough. Today, in the reality of America, in reality of the tyranny that we're experiencing, the truth is bad enough. You don't have to have bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors to get down to the reality and the emergency situation in which we find ourselves. Can you give us a little bit of a background on who you are and how you got started in exposing the treachery in which we live?
I think my entry point into politics was the summer of my sophomore, junior year in high school, way back in the late 1970s, when I started to study, among other things, the issue of nuclear weapons, the potential for nuclear war, and the logic of nuclear deterrence. And it struck me as really quite perverse that the government that was ruling us, that was using the Soviet threat to frighten people into support for policies that I thought were sort of dubious, was engaged in a very brisk trade with the same enemy it was using as sort of a motivating factor for both foreign policy and regimentation of domestic policy. Why is it that we're entering into arms agreements with this implacable enemy that's doing business with the government supposedly protecting us from that enemy? That's the sort of thing I started to worry about and wonder about back when I was a sophomore in high school. And that was the year, of course, of the Iranian Revolution and the invasion of Afghanistan. A number of other really tumultuous events left me wondering if at some point I was going to be stuffed into a uniform and sent overseas to bleed out into desert sands in some country I was only dimly aware of. But I became sort of a Reaganite conservative in the sense that it seemed to me that our government was far too big, far too expensive, much more intrusive than I wanted it to be. And then the other thing that happened is I got involved in the Right to Life movement at about the same time. And there were some contending and not entirely complimentary strains of my view. For instance, I've always been passionately opposed to war, and I've also been passionately opposed to communism. I thought that the latter was a more important consideration than the former until I came to understand that a lot of what was going on, once again, in terms of the threat, was being exacerbated or being created by the people who would be making demands on my life and my property in order to protect us from that threat. And as I mentioned, I'm a very devout pro-life activist. I should point out, an adopted child from a family of six adopted children. And some of my siblings...
That's your background, Will.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds expensive in today's reality of an adoption, which is going to run you $30,000 to $50,000. But perhaps at that point it wasn't.
It wasn't. No, my parents, who were, of course, heroically generous and long-suffering, started adopting us back in the early 60s when it was possible to do so with relatively little expense and trouble. And usually it's been historically the case that it's difficult to adopt more than one child, not only for matters of economy, but for matters of bureaucratic impedimentation and so forth. But my parents managed to adopt six of us, and a couple of my siblings were born after the point when abortion became very commonplace in this country. And so it's one of those things, as I study the issue, I had a sense of there, but for the grace of God went I or some of my siblings, that sort of thing. But this all became sort of an intellectual ferment in my life. How am I going to reconcile these contending and apparently in some ways contradictory strands of philosophy? And in the late 1980s, I went to Washington, D.C., and I spent a short term there. I was sentenced to a brief term of living in Mordor in 87 and 88 while I was studying journalism, and I came back much more, if you will, conservative in the sense I'm of opposing government intervention and government regimentation than I was when I left. I mean, seeing the machinery of imperial rule at close quarters really disabused me of the idea that there's anything glamorous or commendable about it. So I came back to the Western
United States. You're talking about Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., exactly, the Beltway. Okay. Yeah, the floor drain of our society, Washington, D.C. And while I was there, I became aware of the fact that I wasn't entirely happy with conservatism as a philosophy either, because I saw it feeding into and bloating this overgrown edifice of government. And a lot of it, of course, was pure cynicism on the part of people who were entirely opportunistic and entirely materialistic in their outlook. And the next really important, if you will, a point of departure for me from conventional conservatism was the first Gulf War, because it had seemed to me once again that this is a really splendid example of the arsonist being the fire department, where Washington had built up
exactly.
Washington had built up this despicable regime in Iraq over the course of a decade or more, and had abetted Saddam Hussein in waging aggressive war against Iran, and they had helped to cultivate his arsenal of non-conventional weapons and his large conventional military as well. And they invited him into Kuwait, and then suddenly everything slammed into reverse, and we're told that this guy is the reincarnation of Hitler, or at least at that point the most recent reincarnation of Hitler, who seems to spawn an avatar or two at generational intervals whenever the needs of propaganda require. And so I was very passionately opposed to the Gulf War. And that led me to my association with New American Magazine, which at the time was being run by people who were consistently non-interventionist and who understood and articulated the reasons why we shouldn't get involved in that war. It sounded a great deal like what Representative Ron Paul was saying at the time. He'd been a libertarian presidential candidate, and he was in Congress at the time. He was one of the few people who was making sense on that issue, saying, you know, this
it still is.
Yeah, it still is. I mean, he's sui generis. I can't think of anybody in Washington, D.C., in a position of responsibility in government who's in any way, shape, or form anywhere near as committed to the Constitution as Ron Paul is, and who understands liberty like he does. But the way that things worked out is that I spent 12 or 13 years in an association in various capacities with the New American Magazine, during which time I became more and more, if you will, of a Christian individualist in both my political and theological outlook. And I came to understand basically there is just one law, and that law is the law of non-aggression, or the golden rule, if you will, that you recognize the innate value of every individual as bearing the impress of his creator in his countenance, as we do, and that on the basis of that understanding, you have no right to aggress upon the person and property of that individual, and this is the reciprocal arrangement upon which all civilization depends. And examining politics from this perspective, I'm left with the inescapable conclusion that government is nothing more or less than a standing offense to the golden rule, that politics is just a cynical exercise in trying to carve out self-interested exceptions to the golden rule. And that if you understand that as sort of your essential premise for analyzing politics, it leads you in a direction that could be described, I suppose, as Christian individualism or Christian anarchism, anarchy being the rejection of rulers, not the rejection of law. You know, law exists whether we recognize it or not. It's just that government, for the most part, militates against the rule of law. And that law, once again, is the iron law of non-aggression, or to put it in a better way, once again, the golden rule. As far as I can tell, our two options are either the golden rule or the iron fist, and I know which side of that dichotomy I come down on.
Exactly. To me, civil government is the implementation of an agenda through violence or the threat of violence.
Exactly.
And how in the world can we conform that to a Christian worldview. And I think you nailed it. I was going to ask you to define Christian individualism, and I thank you for, with such fluidity, going through your basic bio. This is Freedom Frenzy. We've got William Grigg on the line with us. You guys are not going to want to miss the rest of today's show. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
So either Thursday or Friday this week. Hey, welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. We are giving you a taste of what you can anticipate from a more full interview with Will Grigg, who is the author of and producer of, I guess, if you will, the blog site freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And Will, do you have books available? Are you doing radio? Give us a little idea of how people can access more of you.
I have a number of books that I've published, but right now, unfortunately, I have no means of selling them. Our most recent book, Liberty and Eclipse, has been sold out, and I'm trying to go back to press with that, and there's some logistical difficulties I have to overcome. I am producing the blogs you pointed out, Pro Libertate, at freedominourtime.blogspot.com, and I'm doing a number of podcasting projects that sort of spin off of the blog. I'm trying to work things out to get back on the air with a radio program. I've been invited by another network to do a program. Once again, there are time factors and some other things to deal with that provide some, you know, fairly formidable obstacles. But God willing, and with a little bit of luck, perhaps, I'll be able to get back on the radio before long. And I am involved in a couple of other book projects that I really can't describe right now because they're still sort of
plastic,
in a protein state. But I'm very busy. People ask if I'm working. I say, yeah, I'm working all the time. I just very rarely getting paid for what I do. It's not remunerative.
Welcome to the world of real activism, right? Well, I know that you have got to run. However,
yeah,
we want to do an email blast to promote having you on either tomorrow or Friday. And so if you could get me some information, you can just message me on Facebook what you'd like for us to include in the email blast. And for those of you out there that will be tuning in later this week, go check out freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And, of course, please include the William Gregg family in your prayers.
Yes,
as
yes,
they are raising six. Your children are younger than mine. How old is the oldest down to the youngest?
Our oldest is 13. Our youngest just turned 2 a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, my oldest is 14, and the baby will be 5 May 2nd. So
there's nothing better.
Yes, we're speaking the same language. Well, we'll let you go. Thank you so much, Will, for spontaneously joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. You know, when we were off air, Will was, you know, lamenting to me that right now they're not in a position to homeschool, although they have homeschooled and they have done the private school method. But he was saying, you know, if we could immediately return to homeschooling, it would uncomplicate our lives beautifully. And, you know, there is something to that, Jerry. On many occasions, actually, I've been homeschooling. I say you homeschool from the time you conceive. So in that sense, I've been homeschooling for 14 years. But in the sense of more formalized education, I've been homeschooling for 12. And the years where we've tried to add on homeschooler helps, such as the once a day, you know, in the week homeschooling enrichment programs, it really does complicate your existence and your schedule. But anyway, I'm thankful that we could get a little teaser with Will, and I guess now we can go back to hit and run news in our regularly scheduled program.
Oh, golly. Well, we'll pick it up in progress. You know, Jeannie, I thought it was interesting that you mentioned that you've used Facebook to establish contact with Will. Have you, and now that you've reactivated your status there, I was wondering if you would find this news item I stumbled on last night of interest. The boys at Facebook are reportedly moving forward with plans to provide third-party developers and external websites with access to home addresses and cell phone numbers of the people that are members of Facebook. That social networking site originally announced this feature in its developer blog just in last January, only to receive some serious public outcry over security concerns. Within 3 days of that announcement, Facebook suspended that feature until all the hype died down, only to bring it back just this past Monday. In response to the announcement in January, Representatives Edward Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Joe Barton, a Republican of Texas, sent Facebook executives a letter expressing their concern. Facebook, however, reaffirmed it would indeed be allowing third parties to request access to users' addresses and phone numbers. The motivation, of course, behind Facebook's move is the enormous amount of cash marketers and third-party websites will pay the site for that pressure information. It's all about Facebook's bigger plan to become a viable marketing channel for businesses. Facebook added that it is considering implementing controls that it would make more clear to the masses that their personal information is being shared. The site is actively considering whether to restrict users under the age of 18 from sharing their content with those third-party developers. Aren't they wonderful folks?
Wow. What's the whole, if they're sharing information, then why even have different levels of secrecy, if you will, or privacy on your Facebook site?
Exactly. Exactly, dear. It's all about making money. And, you know, it's like I've told you before, I'm on Facebook. I go visit it maybe once every 60 days. I really don't care about it. And it's kind of a nuisance, actually, because I get all this flipping email from people I don't know. And I've checked it out. I've gone and looked at Who Wants to Be My Friend? And I have no idea who these people are. Okay. Well, we've got some more news stories to give you when we come back, so we'll hang loose. Go grab that cup of coffee. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Freedom Frenzy, and it is frenzy today. Jerry, I've had this bit on my desk since last Thursday, and it is a really, really great piece. So before we do another thing, I really want to get this out here. And I loved it that Will Grigg was talking about the conflicting positions when you talk about Christianity and you talk about premeditative war and you talk about all these different elements of the reality of the American empire now spreading over the globe and nuclear armament and so on and so forth. And I think this war prayer that Mark Twain wrote is spot on, if you will. And so I am going to read it to you guys because it's just really choice. If you want to find this piece, you can find it online. I got it off the website historyisaweapon.com. And you can do a search for Mark Twain. Also, if you open up the different chapters, you'll find the war prayer in one of those chapters. So here we go without further ado. The War Prayer by Mark Twain. It was a time of great and exulting excitement. The country was up in arms. The war was on. In every breast burned the holy fire of patriotism. The drums were beating, the bands playing, the toy pistols popping, the bunched firecrackers hissing and spluttering. On every hand and far down the receding and fading spread of roofs and balconies, a fluttering wilderness of flags flashed in the sun. Daily, the young volunteers marched down the wide avenue, gay and fine in their new uniforms, the proud fathers and mothers and sisters and sweethearts cheering them with voices choked with happy emotion as they swung by. Nightly, the packed mass meetings listened, panting to patriot oratory which stirred the deepest deeps of their hearts, and which they interrupted at briefest intervals with cyclones of applause, the tears running down their cheeks the while. In the churches, the pastors preached devotion to flag and country and invoked the God of battles, beseeching his aid in our good cause in outpourings of fervid eloquence which moved every listener. It was indeed a glad and gracious time. And the half dozen rash spirits that ventured to disapprove of the war and cast a doubt upon its righteousness straightway got such a stern and angry warning that for their personal safety's sake, they quickly shrank out of sight in order that they might offend no one. Sunday morning came. The next day, the battalions would leave for the front. The church was filled. The volunteers were there, their young faces alight with martial dreams. Visions of the stern advance, the gathering momentum, the rushing charge, the flashing sabers, the flight of the foe, the tumult, the enveloping smoke, the fierce pursuit, the surrender. Then, home from the war, bronzed heroes welcomed, adored, submerged in golden seas of glory. With the volunteers sat their dear ones, proud, happy, and envied by the neighbors and friends who had no sons and brothers to send forth to the field of honor, there to win for the flag, or failing, die the noblest of noble deaths. The service proceeded. A war chapter from the Old Testament was read. The first prayer was said. It was followed by an organ burst that shook the building. And with one impulse, the house rose with glowing eyes and beating hearts and poured out that tremendous invocation. God the all-terrible, thou who ordainest, thunder thy clarion and lightning thy sword. Then came the long prayer. None could remember the like of it for passionate pleading and moving and beautiful language. The burden of its supplication was that an ever merciful and benign Father of us all would watch over our noble young soldiers and aid, comfort, and encourage them in their patriotic work. Bless them, shield them in the day of battle and the hour of peril. Bear them in his mighty hand. Make them strong and confident, invincible in the bloody onset. Help them to crush the foe. Grant to them and to their flag and country imperishable honor and glory. An aged stranger entered and moved with slow and noiseless step up the main aisle, his eyes fixed upon the minister, his long body clothed in a robe that reached to his feet, his head bare, his white hair descending in a frothy cataract to his shoulders, his seamy face unnaturally pale, pale even to ghastliness. With all eyes following him and wondering, he made his silent way. Without pausing, he ascended to the preacher's side and stood there waiting. With shut lids, the preacher, unconscious of his presence, continued with his moving prayer and at last finished it with the words uttered in fervent appeal, "Bless our arms and grant us the victory, O Lord our God." And now, when we come back, we'll finish it up. This is Freedom Frenzy. Are we on break?
I don't think so.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. It was just getting exciting. Okay, let me keep going. Bless our arms, grant us the victory, O Lord our God, Father and protector of our land and flag. The stranger touched his arm, motioned him to step aside, which the startled minister did, and took his place. During some moments, he surveyed the spellbound audience with solemn eyes, in which burned an uncanny light. Then, in a deep voice, he said, "I come from the throne bearing a message from Almighty God." The words smote the house with a shock. If the stranger perceived it, he gave no attention. "He has heard the prayer of his servant, your shepherd, and will grant it if such shall be your desire after I, his messenger, shall have explained to you its import. That is to say, its full import. For it is like unto many of the prayers of men in that it asks for more than he who utters is aware of, except he pause and think. God's servant in yours has prayed his prayer. Has he paused and taken thought? Is it one prayer? No, it is two, one uttered, the other not. Both have reached the ear of him who heareth all supplications, the spoken and the unspoken. Ponder this, keep it in mind. If you would beseech a blessing upon yourself, beware, lest without intent you invoke a curse upon a neighbor at the same time. If you pray for the blessing of rain upon your crops, which needs it, by that act you are possibly praying for a curse upon some neighbor's crop, which may not need rain and can be injured by it. You have heard your servant's prayer, the uttered part of it. I am commissioned of God to put into words the other part of it, that part which the pastor and also you in your hearts fervently prayed silently and ignorantly and unthinkingly. God grant that it was so. You heard these words, grant us the victory, O Lord our God. That is sufficient. The whole of the uttered prayer is compact into those pregnant words. Elaborations were not necessary. When you have prayed for victory, you have prayed for many unmentioned results which follow victory, must follow it, cannot help but follow it. Upon the listening spirit of God fell also the unspoken part of the prayer. He commandeth me to put it into words. Now listen. O Lord, our Father, our young patriots, idols of our hearts, go forth to battle. Be thou near them. With them in spirit we also go forth from the sweet peace of our beloved firesides to smite the foe. O Lord, our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to drown the thunder of the guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their offending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out roofless with little children to wander unfriended the wastes of their desolated land in rags and hunger and thirst. Sports of the sun, flames of summer, and the icy winds of winter, broken in spirit, worn with travail, imploring thee for the refuge of the grave and denied it. For our sakes who adore thee, Lord, blast their hopes, blight their lives, retract their bitter pilgrimage, make heavy their steps, water their way with their tears, stain the white snow with the blood of their wounded feet. We ask it in the spirit of love of him who is the source of love and who is the ever faithful refuge and friend of all that are sore beset and seek his aid with humble and contrite hearts. Amen. After a pause, ye have prayed it, if ye still desire it, the message of the Most High awaits.
Is that it, babe?
There's one last sentence, and I think that's really the mental chew toy, and here it is. It was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic because there was no sense in what he said. I love the satire of Mark Twain. That was the war prayer by Mark Twain, and I'm horrified every time at church I hear a blessing on our soldiers fighting for our freedom in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, I'm tempted to print this out and distribute it to some of my friends. I wonder if they would really get it.
I doubt it, dear. I doubt it. I really do. And, you know, that's you're talking about the same people that you rail against. They're in church, I think, because of some of the stuff that they do and wanting to pray for the perpetuation of the tyranny that we're all facing. And that's really what they're doing, whether they realize it or not.
Exactly. And I think that's the point of the unspoken and the spoken prayer, because we, you know, prayer is such a powerful thing. We are going into the throne room of the Creator, and we need to be more studied in the prayers that we offer, and more serious about the kind of power we are asking to be unleashed on our behalf.
Indeed. And, you know, oftentimes, particularly with imprecatory prayer, if we're not adequately prepared, we may be calling down the wrath upon our own heads. Fortunately, we have the intercessor who is supposed to be interpreting our lame prayers and putting them in terms that God can appreciate. And that, I think, spares us a great deal of grief.
Yes, if for one day God were to answer all prayers offered up into heaven.
Affirmatively. Affirmatively.
Yeah, exactly, because he does answer all prayer. I think we should include in our prayer, and dear God, please protect us for the stupidity and ignorance and naivety that we've included in this prayer because of our innate sinfulness and lack of study in our own affairs and those around us. Because the church, the evangelifish of America, wherever they may be lurking, and they seem to be quite prolific, they are a part and parcel to an agenda that is absolutely godless. And even when I think about praying down for God to bless our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan in giving them victory, not bless them in terms of granting repentance to the president and generals under which they serve and bring them home immediately, or give them the... Okay, go ahead.
Well, you talked about your... I guess you're talking about the people in your Presbyterian church. They're praying for victory. Do they have any idea how that would come about? What victory would mean?
I wasn't praying at that point for... I wasn't saying that our church prays for victory, because I haven't necessarily heard that. I've prayed that God would bless them in their efforts and protect them and keep them safe as they fight for our freedom. That's the phraseology. My point is that, you know, those soldiers are over there enforcing Sharia law, if you will. And before the American invasion of Iraq, it was a secular nation. And the Constitution, which we put in play there, requires and demands that no law can be passed that is in contradiction to Sharia law. And our soldiers are there fighting at the edge of a gun, forcing the populace into submission to Sharia law. That's how serious this is.
Yeah, it's an interesting juxtaposition we find ourselves in, isn't it?
So why would we pray to God and send forth our soldiers with enthusiasm to bludgeon a people, you know, lethally into submission to Sharia law? That's basically the long and the short of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that Scott in West Virginia has got something he wants to weigh in here about this. Scott, welcome to Freedom Frenzy.
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. I'm sorry. I had Scott in West Virginia in my queue. We'll take you. Welcome to Freedom Frenzy.
What? Hello? Am I still here, or are you switched to somebody else?
I don't know if you're still there, Mark, but
I don't know if I'm here or not. Well, you know the really lame joke. I'm my own imaginary best friend, so I'm not really even sure whether or not I even exist.
best friends. It's all good,
there
Mark.
There was a thing that... When I read Major General Smedley Butler's War is a Racket, at the end of that material, I saw a reference to Mark Twain wrote an article that was so controversial that in his will he gave orders that it not be published until after he was passed. It was called the War Prayer, where when they were praying for the troops, he said, oh, by the way, here's what you're really not stating explicitly, but this is what you're leading to, is... You know, I hope all these other people die, and their children are orphaned, and their wives widowed, and da 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 da. It's like, here's what you're saying by leaving out that there's another side to the story. So I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Twain's The War Prayer, but it's a very convicting thing.
Mark.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that part. I just talked to you. Sorry.
That's what I just read. It was Mark Twain's The War Prayer. Now I didn't realize he didn't want it published until, he only wanted it published posthumously. That's very interesting. And, you know, I'm very familiar with the fact
that... He just didn't want the controversy. he wanted it published. He just didn't want to have to deal with people quarreling with him. Because at the end of the War Prayer, they said, how dare you? You're crazy. And they dismissed him. But, you know, a lot of this prayer, it reminds me, there was this comedy routine where this guy was talking about how this guy's hand was shriveled up, and he was praying, Lord, please make this guy's hand, his hand like the other, make his hand like the other. and then and his other hand shriveled up, and it's like, come on, Lord, get your act together. So, I don't know if you ever heard that. I forget who did that comedy routine, but yeah, I'm sorry I missed it. You were already on the war prayer, but I guess I should have known. But what the message of that thing was that basically people were so oblivious to what they were missing that they didn't understand that there's consequences to what they're leaving out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, hang on just a second. We're going to cut away to a break, and okay. We'll be back in a moment. This is Freedom Frenzy. Y'all stay tuned.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive. And you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to Freedom Frenzy. Jerry was mentioning to me that perhaps I rushed through the War Prayer by Mark Twain a little too quickly, and I'm sorry to y'all if I did. I was hesitant to read out, you know, just a straight quote for 10 plus minutes on radio, lest I fatigue my listener. But you guys can go to historyisaweapon.com and find the War Prayer by Mark Twain. Mark in Georgia called in and he was mentioning that Mark Twain wrote this prayer, but then he asked that it not be published until after his death because he didn't want to have to take the flack for it. So I find that very interesting. So now we're going to move on to our next caller, Scott.
Well, you know, before we do, dear, I wanted to point out that I had heard that prayer. And you know, it's not really a prayer per se. It's more like a sermon. And it's been labeled a prayer, I guess, to get a little bit more acceptability about it. But I heard that done, I think it was even on PBS, by some famous Hollywood actor who speaks very, very well. And they delivered it as I thought it probably ought to be delivered, as maybe Twain would have himself, because I've read a lot of Twain, and he had a remarkable sense of timing. And I think if properly delivered, that prayer or sermon has tremendous power. And all through it, there are mental landmines that people have to have an opportunity to hear, plug in before the next idea pushes it out of the way. And that's why I think it would have been wonderful had you slowed down.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jerry. And I want to urge people to pull it up on where History is a Weapon and read it so that you can really grasp what he's saying. And, you know, there are passages in the Bible that talk about, you know, the heads of the infants of the wicked being bashed on the rocks. I mean, it's very violent verbiage. And, you know, God is a consuming fire. But we need to reflect on what we are asking of God and the righteousness of our war. It's one thing to be protecting individual life and liberty at lethal force. And what's amazing to me is that the Christian community of America is aggressively against any violence in front of an abortion clinic or a prenatal murder mill to keep from having the death of the innocent occur. But a body of the same body of believers is aggressively in favor of premeditative war, if you will, invading countries like Iraq and putting the populace at gunpoint under Sharia law. And I don't think they're fully grasping what they're begging for. And just like the fact, Jerry, that we're spending $116 billion a year in Afghanistan, where our country is just going to ruins?
Yeah, just imagine what America would be like if we didn't have a boogeyman or boogeymen that we had to police. And that's really what's going on here, boys and girls. We've turned in, and I know you've heard this, but we've turned in to the world's policemen, and it's by and large due to our involvement and financing of the United Nations, which, quite frankly, the American government uses to its own advantage. And it does that through both political and economic hegemony that it is able to impress upon the world. And the price tag apparently is not too grievous, even though we pay the lion's share of the operational cost of the United Nations. It's just one of those insignificant little costs, like we don't factor in, well, like we were talking to David Bloom yesterday, how much do we need to add to the price of a gallon of gasoline for a soldier's death to get that oil to America? How much do we need to factor in? That's why I said, if we didn't have boogeymen that America needed to police, what would life in America be like? I marvel at the opportunity to try it. I hope you do too. I'm sorry, dear.
Don't be sorry. I think your two cents was great. Well, on that note, without further ado, Scott in West Virginia, welcome to Freedom Frenzy. Scott, I'm so sorry.
We'll have to hold you over, Scott. Yes, we'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere, Scott. We've got another break, and when we come back, you are the first thing that will be happening. This is y'all. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.